Okay, continuing the Malacha Bishul, as when we started the Malacha Bishul, so we pointed out the fact that this is definitely the longest of the Malachas, and I think we've been true to our word. We still have quite a while to go in terms of some intricacies of Bishul. So today's Shia, we're going to try to discuss an aspect of Bishul that, in a certain sense, is not Bishul per se. The Sugya actually begins in Bishul, and the details of the Halacha discussed in Shacharach and Simon Shin Yurches, and Simon about Bishul, but it really branches out to other malachas, and it really touches a little bit more, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and some of the differences and similarities between the two of them. And it begins with the discussion of what are the parameters of cooking for somebody who happens to be a chol sheyesh per sakana. So, as we know, a person is a chol sheyesh per sakana, their life is in danger, even if it's only a suffix sakana, there's no question that one is permitted to do one malacha deraisa without any question whatsoever. We spoke a little bit in the past that one can try to avoid it, if it's safe to avoid it, one can try to do things in other ways, maybe they go, you know, different things. Again, those are the details related to Pikuach Nefesh as a whole. But bottom line, if a person really, really needs something for Chol HaSheyesh B'Sakana, one is allowed to do it, and Bishul is no different. And it's in this light that the Gemara begins to discuss the following challenge. The Gemara says, what would it be? I'm a Vashur L'Chol B'Shabbos. The person cooks for a Chol on Shabbos, where he was permitted to do so, and now the Chol didn't finish off all the food, and I got some really good food. I got some good hot soup that's ready. I haven't had hot soup on a Shabbos lunch in a long time. But I got the steaming pot of chicken soup, but the Chol just would take of some of the chicken soup. There's a lot left over. So am I permitted to eat that soup or not? So the Chol, the answer is yes, why not? What I did was at the Gomer. Now, this is not part of last sugya we spoke about Maisa Shabbos. If a person does a malacha on Shabbos, so then the result is that one is not permitted to use that item either for Shabbos, if the Shabbos is amazing, shogeg for him, for others, all the intricacies of what's called Maaseh Shabbos. But at first glance, this has nothing to do with Maaseh Shabbos, because what the person did was perfectly legitimate, perfectly justified. So what should the din be? Says Moshe, you're right, that Me'ikra din, it really should be permissible. The only thing is, Chazal made a special tachon, a special gezeira, that you shouldn't use the leftover food on Shabbos. Why? Gezeira shemayada b'shvilo. Because if you get into the habit of eating the leftover soup that you cooked the heter for the cholah, what's going to happen is as follows. Next Shabbos, when you have another chola, you're going to think, gee, I remember last week that soup was really good. No, I'm allowed to cook, so why don't I just add on more and more and more? Anyway, lechem chila. So we don't want that to happen. So in order to prevent the person from in the future cooking not justifiably, the person adding on, shemayavah b'shvilo, if a chazal made a gezeirah and says, you know what, don't eat this food till after Shabbos. Don't be nana for this. Again, this is not real nice for Shabbos, like we spoke about in the last year, because it was done to hefter. But nevertheless, there is a cause for concern, there is a potential problem here, that if a chazal made a special gezeirah, the gezeirah called shemayavah b'shvilo. So the Rishonim are quick to point out that it is clear from this Gemara that it is prohibited to be ma'aseh b'shvilo. I mean, if and when the doctor comes and he says, here's the prescription, one bowl of soup. That's all a person needs. So it's clear for the Gemara, that's all I'm allowed to cook, is one bowl of soup. And if I cook more, that's also. If the halacha would be that it's mutal harvest for shvilo, then it would be pretty silly to make a gezeira that you shouldn't do it. So from the fact that I made a gezeira, don't eat the rest of the soup. Gezeira, you may lechat chila, add on more. You see from here, that what's called riva b'shurin. You see from here that adding on above and beyond what is necessary is in fact prohibited. Why would one have thought otherwise? Why would one have thought if the doctor said the person only needs one bowl of soup, like mehecha tasing, why in a million years would I have thought that I'm allowed to cook more? So the Rishonim point out, not only would I have thought that way, but we're not quite sure why I can't. Because there is a parallel halacha in Hilchos Yom Tov that has the same word in the phrase, but it's something to do. It's ochel nefesh, not pikuach nefesh. When it comes to ochel nefesh, the halacha in fact is, as the Gemara says in the second half of the second beitza, let's say I want a bowl of soup on Yom Tov. So that's okay, perfectly legitimate. I'm allowed to cook myself a bowl of soup. So the Gemara says explicitly that not only can I cook a bowl of soup, I can cook an entire pot of soup, even though I know in advance that I only want one of the bowls of soup, and that's perfectly okay. That's what's called riba b'shiurin. What I'm not allowed to do with this is as follows. Let's say I only want soup to cook. I'm not interested in eating anything else today, but I think, you know what, once I'm already cooking, let me cook up some chicken for next week. I'll put some kugel and make some children for 3 days from now. So that you're not allowed to do. Because those are different actions. But kozman is within the same mice, it's within the same action. Riba b'shiurin on Yom Tov is actually permissible lechat chila. So come to the Rishonim and say, wait a second. It's a very, very similar area of halacha. Here, I'm doing something because it's mutter, because it's Yom Tov. here I'm doing something because it's mutter, because it's a cholitz, because nefesh. How come when it comes to yantif, I'm allowed to add on more and that's perfectly acceptable? How come when it comes to pikuach nefesh, that I'm not allowed to do that? Gezeirah shaviyah b'shvilah. What is the difference between the two? So there's a big machlekes of Rishonim, very fundamental, conceptual machlekes of Rishonim, what the answer to that question is. So the Rashba quotes in the name of the Ri, we don't have this Ri in our places, but the Rashba quotes in the name of the Ri, who says that the answer is not so conceptual, not so lumdish, not so razzle-dazzle. The Ri says that fundamentally they're really both mutter. That fundamentally, once the ma'aseh is mutter, so then everything is mutter. You can cook more on Shabbos, you can cook more on Yom Tov. Once you have a green light to do an Aveira, not an Aveira, literally, if you have a green light to do something that would otherwise be an Aveira, if you get a green light, then the sky's the limit. You want to cook 1,000 bowls of soup as long as it's the same pot. It's mutter bein b'Yom Tov bein b'Pikuach Nefesh Shabbos. So why does the Gemara say it's asur? So the Ri says it's a chumra midrabanan. It's a chumra midrabanan, it doesn't look right, it's a zilzul, people are going to start to do melachas on Shabbos shelo kedin. Therefore, Chazal wanted to stop the problem. Why didn't they stop the problem in Yom Tov also? So Yom Tov is not a serious Shabbos. That you mechal Yom Tov. Please don't misquote me out of context. Like, what's the big deal? The Malach and Yom Tov being friends. Tell me Malchus. Come on, man. Quickly. You know, tell me a lot of the Torah. Shabbos. Ah, Skila. Skila is much more serious than Isra, Malach and Yom Tov. So therefore, the Isra de Rabbanan of what's called Riva B'Shiurin was instituted. That Isra called Riva B'Shiurin was only instituted on Shabbos. It was never instituted on Yom Tov. But the Ikaron, it's really mutter. The Ikaron is a fundamental principle called Riyu B'Shiurin is in fact permissible. And that's the Ikar Din of the Torah, and that's even the Din of the Rabbanim of Yom Tov. And by Shabbos, they threw a curveball at us, they threw a Chumah Midrabbanim. And that's the Yisod of the Riyu. But again, Midrash, the Ikar Din, Riyu B'Shiurin is mutter. I was discussing to Rav Nachman yesterday, right after davening, a little bit of a different angle of Riyu B'Shiurin, not this particular part of the Shia. We were talking about the... He had one question. He had a lot of questions to ask me afterwards, but one of the many questions, although I have to tell everybody that he was very, very happy to be here. He told me he enjoys coming here so much. He wants to know when he's coming back next, so he really, really enjoys it here. So he asked me one personal question. He asked me, how do I keep my weight down? That was the question that he wanted to know. So I said to him, it's very, very simple. It's a very lumdish sugya. It's called Chatzi Shiur. It's going to happen with Messiah from Rabbi Willing. Anything, I don't always keep this Messiah, but Rabbi Willing's Messiah is whatever you want to eat, decide what you want to eat, and then eat Chatzi Shiur. Then eat half of what it is. So I said to him, the only problem is that sometimes I'm in violation of Riva B'Shiur. Sometimes you end up having more than you originally had. So in theory, you have to, if you balance between Chatzi Shiur and Riva B'Shiur and eat just the right amount, so then you'll somehow end up in the middle. That was my Chiddush Din. So be like that. Okay, anyway, back to this story. So Riva B'Shiurin, the bottom line is that Riva B'Shiurin, Me'ika Mikra, Dinah Koy Dinah Yistach HaMotor, Midrash says Motor, Midrash Bonet Shetach also be Motor. But Shabbos they threw a chumra at you. Comes the Rav of Masechet Beitza and says that this is not fundamentally not correct. Comes around and says that the answer to the question does have a lomdush answer. It has a razzle dazzle answer, but there is a fundamental difference in the halacha between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And it's that fundamental difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov that explains why Riva B'Shiurin is mutter in one and why it's also midaraisa in the other. What is the fundamental difference? And these are terms that we've spoken about so many times in the past that when it comes to, let's say, cooking on Yom Tov, so you have to ask yourself the following question. The starting point should have been, you shouldn't be able to cook on Yom Tov. The Torah says you can't do malach on Yom Tov. So it sounds like the starting point is, you can't cook on Yom Tov, you can't light fire on Yom Tov, you can't carry food on Yom Tov. Sounds like, ain't bein Shabbos to Yom Tov, period. It comes to the Torah and says, ah, hasher, ochel lecho nefesh, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, it's okay. You're allowed to carry food on Yom Tov. You're allowed to light fires on food on Yom Tov. All these things are okay. Ah, hasher, ochel lecho nefesh, you're allowed to do yourself a chavis. So the question is, what's pshat in that heter? Is pshat that, oh yeah, I really shouldn't be cooking on Yom Tov. Chatosi avisi pshati. I'm not supposed to be cooking on Yom Tov. I'm not supposed to be carrying on Yom Tov. I'm not supposed to be lighting fires for pre-existing fires. I'm not supposed to be kneading my dough on Yom Tov. I'm not supposed to be getting anything else. But Nebuch, what can you do? The Torah wants us, we should have a fun day on Yom Tov, should be simple Yom Tov. So the Torah says, all right, Nebuch, 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 with a heavy heart, but the mitzvah of simple Yom Tov override all the otherwise Yisurim of food preparation. That's what we would call halacha d'chuya. It means it's really fundamentally wrong. It's something that you're not really supposed to do. You should try to think a million times before you do it, but Nebuch, if push comes to shove, you don't have any food to eat, so then you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. That's what we would call d'chuya halacha. Is that pshat? So the Ran says that is absolutely not correct. The Ran says, Cooking on Yom Tov is hetek gomor. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can I cook on Yom Tov? He'd say, great, wonderful. That's what I state in the Torah. That's what the Rebbe Shalom told me. Afish Hashem, it's hetek gomor. It's not even a shayla. You don't have to avoid it. You don't have to think twice about it. You don't have to clap a chait for it. It's hetek gomor. It's mutum mechatchila. The Torah never asks her to cook on Yom Tov. It's not that. It's basically also, but we'll find the kinesh to do it. No, it's mutum mechatchila shemarchila. That's what's called hutra on Yom Tov. However, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, argues the Ran, it's a whole different ballgame. On the one hand, the Torah screams out, "Lo sasek of malacha, inal adu malacha on Shabbos." Skila kares. On the other hand, the Torah says, "V'chay b'hem nevach, a person's life is in danger. You have to do it." So what's pshat? Is pshat that okay, great? It's not Shabbos today. You know, everything's mutter. It's a free for all. It's a green light. It's het devom olagamre. What do I say? No. Nebuch with a heavy heart, a lace prayer, I told you I have to do it. I can't use that as an excuse not to do it. Nebuch, I have to pick up the phone, I got to call the doctor, I got to get into the car, whatever is necessary is going to have to be done. But it's done, the chai bohem. It's done as a dechuya. It's done as a, almost like a bidyevit, so to speak. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it. It doesn't mean that I should take the act of, well, it's only bidyevit, I want to be a lechatchila Jew. So lechatchila, I'll die, but bidyevit, well, we'll say, no, you're not allowed to do that. Sometimes the terms lechatchila and bidyevet are tough terms to define. People very often throw these kinds of questions at Rabbanim to try to catch them up. Remember when the Rashiva came out, fierce Rashiva. And I was in Kiryat Yam the other day, so I realized I'm already in the next Rashiva. It's already the third guild of Rosh Hashiva I've seen in Kiryat Yam. So when the original Rashiva Kiryat Yam was alive, sometimes the boys would sometimes like to ask him questions like, does he think that Hezder is a lechatchila b'diyavid? That was always one of the favorite questions. Does he think that Hezder is a lechatchila b'diyavid? So I remember Shiva used to respond. He would say, Tagidli, milchama is a lechatchila? He says, is war lechatchila? He says, war is a b'diyavid. Lechatchila, everyone would be, we should all be sitting mishalva mishalva learning to Yavalaya. So now you have a b'diyavid situation in life. So now you have to decide, what do you do in a world of b'diyevet? He said, nobody would say, l'chatchila sh'machatchila, we should never have to fight a war. So that's the Shasar Chagoda. What can you do? So you have to figure out what to do. Of course, he didn't answer the question. That wasn't what the boys wanted to know. They want to know in the light of a b'diyevet situation. But he was too smart to answer the question. Anyway, okay, back to our story. So here, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we have to do it. There's no question. But we're doing it almost like heavy heart, almost like in the sense of, never what can we do? It's a dechuya, we have no choice. Says the Ran, that mindset between chutra and dechuya is very, very important to halacha. Because if something is chutra, so what it basically means is, what you're doing is not a ma'aseh aveira. If it's dechuya, then what you're doing is a ma'aseh aveira, it's a ma'aseh aveira that the Torah tells you to go ahead and do. So says the Ran, it makes all the difference in the world. If the action is per se a ma'aseh aveira, it's just that Nebuch, you're allowed to do it, so then Nebuch, you're allowed to do what you need. So I only need a bowl of soup. The doctor said, cook a bowl of soup for the chayla. You have no right to say, well, what I'm doing is mutter, so I can throw in more soup. No, what you're doing is asr. You're doing an act of chil Shabbos. It's a justified act of chil Shabbos. So whatever is justified is justified. Whatever is not justified is not justified. And you cannot put more soup in. And if you put more soup in, that's an issur gomer min haTorah. When it comes to cooking on Yom Tov, what you are doing is a ma'aseh heter. It's mutl chachila what you're doing. So if what you are doing is mamish mutl chachila, so then why can't I put more in? I'm doing heter. I'm doing a ma'aseh muteris. So whatever I'm doing is all nichlal in the ma'aseh, the original ma'aseh heter.
According to the read, is it kulach hadgzera? The secondary, when you cook for kol tishrei with Ran, it's leftover.
Right. So right. It's like a gzera under Rabban. Right. It's like kulach hadgzera kind of thing. Like in loha lo kaim. Right.
Even if it's dechuya, what other action are you doing? If we're saying it's...
So the Jew is already asking, even if it's dechuya, but shouldn't be able to be still covered by the original act. Is that what you're asking?
Right, if they're not sure what the additional
malacha
is, what is it?
No, the additional cooking... So, at the end of the day, the doctor said the guy needs one bowl. So I'm cooking 10 bowls, all in the same pot. So the maisa of cooking the one bowl was a maisa iser. Only a maisa heter can be toe-faced the rest of heter. Ma'aseh Isser can toe-face the rest of the Heter. That's what the Yisrael of the Ram is. But the Ma'aseh, how you slice it, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, on Yom Tov, the din is like that. The din is no question about it, that we b'shirun is mutter, as long as it's all b'chadah Ma'aseh. Even though the Gemara only originally discusses the issue of b'shirun on Yom Tov when it comes to cooking, it becomes very, very relevant for other areas of Yom Tov as well. We rely on b'shirun all the time in Yom Tov, instead of carrying. Let's say you're in a place where there's no Erev,
So one is allowed to carry for food on Yom Tov, that's for sure. Then there was Machlekes Bishami Bishilel, are you allowed to carry for other tzurachim as well? So according to Bishami, you're only allowed to carry food. If you push a baby carriage, it's just a government of Torah. And we pass that Bishilel, you're allowed to push the baby carriage, you're allowed to carry lulav, sir, matzah, whatever, things like that. Whatever is the tzurach hayom. Rashi holds you can even carry shalom tzurach hayom. The Aminig is like Tosfos, the Rav Pasuk is like Tosfos. So you have to carry only something that's the tzurach hayom. What would the din be as follows? Let's say I'm carrying something on Yom Tov. I'm carrying the tzurach hayom. I really need it. But there are more things together with that item that I'm carrying. It's in the same bag, it's in the same chadamais, it's the same active otzah, but I only need one of them. I don't need all of them. Am I allowed to do that or not? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, yeah, I'll do that, because that's called chadamais. What's the difference whether I want to cook a bowl of soup and now I end up cooking a whole pot of soup? That's chadamais, huh? Or if I want to carry one item and nichla on that one item, there's a lot of other of the same items. So Rav Moshe writes that separately. So I'm going to be very, very weary in the example I'm going to give. I'm going to preface by saying that the example that Rav Moshe, after Yidan Rav Moshe, he gave this example back in the 1950s, way before anyone had any idea, wasn't on the radar screen about the halachic and medical problems involved. But we'll just talk about it. Please, nobody should misquote me on this. Rav Moshe was asked about a shayla of carrying a pack of cigarettes. Again, it was a different world, a world that wasn't aware of the mitzvahs. So they asked Rav Moshe, you're allowed to carry a whole pack of cigarettes on Yom Tov. What was the shayla? First of all, the assumption was that it would be permissible to smoke on Yom Tov, which was also a big machlokes. I mean, that was a huge machlokes back already hundreds of years ago when tobacco first made its way to Europe. So the post came out a big machlokes, and you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. So the rabbi, yeah, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, because it's the Tzorach HaYom. The person enjoys it, he's having a good time, he's enjoying it. So that's the Tzorach HaYom, that would be Mutar. He's lighting a fire, that's okay. That's like lighting a fire for reading, for keeping warm, etc. So there were some Acharim who permitted it. And the other Acharim who said, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's what's called a Dabar She'eno Shavah L'chol Nefesh. The Gemara says in the Seches Tzubis that on Yom Tov, the Heter V'chol Nefesh is only for normal things that everybody likes to do, like cooking, like those kinds of things. But if you have something that's only like some people, it's an exotic kind of a pleasure that not the average person doesn't necessarily do, so that's not covered by the Heter V'chol Nefesh. So some Acharonim said, the book of the Sanon, some states that said, you're not allowed to smoke on Yom Tov, it's out of the question because it's a Dabar She'eno Shavah L'chol Nefesh. So the Pnei Yeshua was the Bar Machlokes. This is back in the 1700s. So the Pnei Yeshua was the Bar Plukta to cover the Sanon. This he said, no, you could justify, the person could still smoke on Yom Tov. Why could he smoke on Yom Tov? So the Pnei Yeshua said, because there's a Tosfos that says in Masechta Shabbos, we'll try to hold back the Snickers for a minute, but there's a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos that says that it's true that something that's not done for normal pleasure, it's just an exotic kind of a thing, is a problem. But if it's being done for medical purposes, it's being done because it's going to help the person feel better, the person get better, recover from whatever ailments that he has. So that's always called Dabar Shavah L'chol Nefesh. That's by definition, that's objectively Shavah L'chol Nefesh. So Pnei Yeshua writes, it's Yadua in his days, in the 1700s, that it's Yadua that smoking was healthy and it would help you with aiding the digestion. And therefore, we can justify it based on the grounds of Dabar Shavah L'chol Nefesh. That was the Pnei Yeshua writes. So now we move the clock forward a couple of hundred years, so it becomes obvious that this discussion was completely moot. It's a totally meaningless discussion on multiple levels. First of all, we have the principle called Ein Yisachel al Isser. Once something is also for one reason, we can't even discuss anywhere else for something else. There is no question, in my mind, that it's an Isser Gamar Min HaTorah to smoke any time of the day or night, Bein B'Yom Tov. Shabbos for sure. Bein B'Yom Tov, Bein B'Chol, Bein B'Zev, Bein B'Loshen Zev, Bein B'Loshen Chol Loshen. So all kinds of smoking is absolutely Issa Gomer Midaraisa, Vishim Sofing, because it's a violation of Nishmat Menefesh Sechem. Again, to my limited knowledge, that appears to apply to all kinds of smoking, including any other kinds of things that may go under other names, even if they don't involve actual smoke. They may have other names in today's world, but those are all, since they have already been serious health concerns have been raised about other kinds of those related activities. So Lefiani and Daiti, they are Midei Sveika, Sakana, Lonafka, and therefore they are all awesome Min HaTorah, Veli Shum Suffix. Again, that's maybe somebody disagrees, I don't know, possibly somebody disagrees, but Lefiani and Daiti, that's the Din Poshet, Veli Shum Suffix whatsoever. That is the policy of Min HaTorah.
So what's the policy on cannabis?
But it's about, So we'll have to save this for a, you know what, why don't we come on a Friday night and we'll have our Friday night shopping discussion and we'll, that way I won't be taped, and then I can say what I have to say. I'll be more than happy to discuss it in Friday. Okay? Good. Okay. Back to our, it's going to build up attendance for the Friday night. Oh, we're still talking about this. Still too excited. Wait, wait, okay, we'll get back to it.
We're talking about cannabis now.
Well, we'll get back to the food mechala. Yeah, okay.
So what do you do if you
left?
You have to throw it
out? No, you have to shop. Anyway, get back to the story. So Rav Moshe, again, back in the, I can't say back in the good old days, but back in the old days, there was a running machlekes about this topic, and yadua, that there were different opinions and different people, and the minhag ha'olam was to be mekel. That is true. I can even testify about this. I remember as a little boy, some of the old Thomas may remember it, that as a little boy, it was Mikubal, people were smoking in the shul. Off the reformation, off the reformation. Tikkun Leil Shavuos. I remember as a little boy, there were Yuletide candles stationed around downstairs to enable people to continue following the Pnei Shul Shittas. So again, these are things that have long gone, and very, very good reasons have long become also. Anyway, so bottom line is that, but so you have to take. The only reason I gave it out back is you have to take Ramosha where it's coming from. You can't turn around and say, well, why did Ramosha write this truth? Ramosha wrote it before anyone even dreamt that it was unhealthy. So when I asked Ramosha, Lamaisa, that a person carry a whole pack of cigarettes in Yom Kippur. So Ramosha said that, how many does he want? I don't know how many person wants. He wants, I don't know, five cigarettes, whatever it was. I don't have no idea how many are baksham. I don't know, don't answer the question how many are in the pack. I don't want to know, I'm not interested. But that's what he's going to answer, okay? So Rav Moshe said, well, it's all the same pack, and therefore it's all Rebbe B'Shiurim, and it's all okay, because the same way that you can cook a bowl of soup, and in the same pot you can throw in more soup, because it's all Rebbe B'Shiurim, it's all the same Isa, so you can carry the same amount of things that you need. I want five, and now there are 20 in the pack, whatever it is, that's okay, it's all Rebbe B'Shiurim, and that's all Mutas. So that was Rav Moshe's school. So Rav Moshe borrowed that idea of Rebbe B'Shiurim and plugged it into carrying, which is important for us. But that issue of Rebbe B'Shiurim, particularly by carrying, now is a fascinating potential nafka mina to it as follows. If you think about the cases of Rebbe B'Shiurim, let's say, for example, a person needs some tissues, he carries a whole box of tissues. So that would be like the equivalent of Rav Moshe's case of the cigarettes. What does that mean exactly? Why is Rebbe B'Shiurim mutter? So one could raise a lomdish question on Yom Tov, why is it that you can add on more soup? Why is it you can add on more tissues? Why is it you can carry other things? So there are one of two ways of understanding it. So one way of understanding it is to say that, well, each and every item here could potentially be the one that I'm going to use. So I could use this tissue. I could use that tissue. I could use that tissue. Or I could eat this part of the soup or the pot. I could eat that part of the soup. I could eat that part of the soup. So you can't point to any item and say, that's Shalom Tzarech. So maybe since there's no item you can single out, isolate by saying Shalom Tzarech, so then everyone is Bamela going through Mutter. Is that the Pshat or no? Maybe the Pshat is a lumda shavar, that it's chadamaisa. If it's one action, so if the action itself is permissible, like the Ran said, so if the action is mutter, then whatever is part of that action is mutter. My nafkamina, they are very, very big nafkamina. What if I want to carry a whole bunch of things with one maisa, but the rest of the things that are in this batch are not usable in them? They're different items. It's not like the guy's carrying five tissues. It's not like the guy's cooking five bowls of soup in one pot. He's carrying five different items, which happen to all be connected, they're all the same bag, they're all the same grouping, but only one of them is usable for you, and the rest are not. Would that be permissible or not? So according to the first tzad, that you have to be able to point to every item and say, this is usable, this is usable, this is usable, this is usable, I can't do that here, because four out of the five are not usable, so then I would not be able to carry all of them as a zohar. But if you hold that, the reason why it's mutter is because of chadam haisa, because it's one action, so it's one action, it's one action. So it's the same action. So what do I care? What are there extra things on board? So my nafkamina, a very real nafkamina. A person, anyone carries keys anymore? Nobody even has keys anymore. But in the old days, we used to carry, those kind of keys. I mean a key that goes into a hole that actually turns something, not the kind that, you just stand by with your hands full and just stand by.
House key.
House key, okay. I haven't used the house key in there, but I have only one key. My office key to YU still has an old style key. It's actually put into a hole. So what would be the din as follows? The person wants to carry the keys on Yom Tov. There's no Erev. They want to carry the keys on Yom Tov. So the end is, even carrying the house key on Yom Tov is far from agreed upon by everybody. It's not so posher that you're allowed to carry your keys on Yom Tov. What's the Shaila? Shaila, is that called the Tzarech? What's the Tzarech? Leave your door open. What's the Tzarech? What are you afraid of? Someone's going to come and steal something from you? What are they going to steal? They can steal your computer? That's not a Tzarech Yom Tov. I don't need a computer for Yom Tov. What are they going to steal from you? They can steal all your money stashed away in your pillowcase. That's not a Tzarech Yom Tov. What are you afraid of? So according to some poskim, many achorim, you're not allowed to carry keys in Yom Tov. There's no tzorach liyom. Don't lock the door. And the Ramos make it. The Ramos says, no, you're allowed to lock your door in Yom Tov. Why? It's a psychological tzorach. I'm going to be all tzorach. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to go to shul thinking about someone's going to break in and steal my computer. The Ramos computer, the Ramos money. He has his goldfish under his pillow. So the Ramallah says you can lock your door and carry your keys, because otherwise it's going to interfere, it's going to share your sin with Yom Tov. That's also called Tzorach HaYom. So that's a big machlokes. So even according to the Machmirim, one can argue, what if you're afraid that someone's going to come in and steal something that's going to interfere with your celebration of Yom Tov Mamish? They're going to come in and steal all your cookies. They're going to come in and steal your bottles of wine. They're going to come in and steal your kiddush cups. They're going to steal your silverware. They're going to steal your Echol Nefesh things. So it could be they can do that. So that's already Echol Nefesh. That's Tachmot L'chol HaDayis. So the minhag olam is, people were pretty makil that they used to carry keys, the house keys, on Yom Tov, even if there's no Erev. Now the shaila becomes, what if there are other keys on the house keys? Leaving out the car keys that are moved to shaila. I have my office key on the same key ring as the house key. I have, I don't know, I live in a park, but I have my mailbox key on the same ring as my house keys. Do I have to take off all the extra keys before Yom Tov? What can I say? Oh, it's all the same chadamais. It's Rabbi Shimon, it's Mutar. So this was a big machlekes, a later post machlekes between Rav Moshe and the Shmir Shabbos. So Rav Moshe was machmer. So Rav Moshe held that you can only carry on Yom Tov items. You can carry a lot in the same bunch, but each item has to be royal lekach to be used on Yom Tov. So in theory, let's say you have the same key. I have five copies of my house key for some reason, and they're all on the same ring. That you're allowed to carry, says Rav Moshe. That's like the kishas. That's like the cigarettes. But if you have a mailbox key, you have an office key, you have another key that's not usable on Yom Tov, what am I doing in my office in Yom Tov? There's nothing in my office in Yom Tov. I don't need the mail on Yom Tov. Oh, Torah Chayom to read the mail. No, it's all mukhs, I can't read anyway. You can never read the mail out of even 6 days a week. So I have other things on this ring that are not usable, so I should argue that's the problem. That's not covered by Rav Shira. Whereas according to Shmir Shabbos, it's the longest of Chada Maisa. As long as it's the same Maisa, so it's same Maisa, same Maisa, and everything would be okay. But we used to have the Shaila as follows. That when it comes to carrying, so we, over the years when the kids were little, so some people in our family like to rely on Erevin, and other people don't like to rely on Erevin. Again, all the Erevin are good, and we're not questioning any Erevin. If we really held they were no good, then the policy would be across the board. But sometimes certain members of the family have certain chumras and shittas, and they don't want to rely on Erevin, they want to impose those chumras on other people in the family. So sometimes that would happen over the course of the last 25 years or so, that certain members of the Sablowski family would be carrying in the air, but others would not. And of course, the only issue that really came with pushing baby carriages, Baruch Hashem, my wife has been very good about it. She, in her heyday, so she pushed many baby carriages for many, many Shabbosos. And I would always walk along for emotional support, but she was doing the pushing of baby carriage. But I would always feel like at least a few days a year, equal treatment. So on Yom Tov, I would always almost like try to make it my business to push the baby carriage. The Mishnah says it's mutter. So if the Mishnah says it's mutter, how can we find the chumrah? Not the Amos, we'll find the chumrah. So how can you not push the baby carriage on Yom Tov? So the answer is as follows. What else is in the baby carriage besides the baby? So the baby is the Tzorach HaYom. Why? Because it's Simchas HaYom, because you're enjoying walking your baby. The carriage is the Tzorach HaYom, because you can't carry a baby in your hand, you have to put in the carriage. What else is in the carriage? Let's say a couple of diapers in the carriage. How many diapers does the baby need for the next 20-minute walk, the readout walk? How many? One diaper, Reba Mishirin. All the diapers are all in the same bag, so that's okay. Thing of wipes. Assuming someone's going to use the wipes in the family. We make it that someone else can use the wipes. So you have 100 wipes in there. How many wipes are you going to use? Two wipes? So five wipes. How many wipes do you need? See how last time I changed the baby. Five wipes. So that's all reassured. That's okay. We're good to go. What else is in the bottle of the... What else is in the bottle? Let's say I don't know, there's a little extra blanket in case the baby gets cold. Okay. That's also a potential. So okay, I'm going. Then you have other things down there, right? Other things down there that, what's in the Tzorach HaYom? You're not going to use them. There's nothing there. It's 85 degrees outside and there's a baby's a sweater or something down there. You're not going to use it. The shum part of our thing, you're not going to use this. It's Yom Tov Shavuos and it's 100 degrees outside. You're not going to use the sweater. But it's underneath the thing. Well, let's say there's some toy that the baby already outgrew. He's not going to use this toy anymore. Not even a chance. You may find another baby to give it to that company. You're not going to use this toy. This stuff, everyone knows, the bottom of the stroller, sometimes get a little bit cluttered. There's a lot of stuff from last baby, from previous, the Google, a lot of stuff at the bottom of the stroller. So now the shadow becomes, how much do I have to start taking apart the stroller. Do I have to start taking apart the stroller and saying, now wait a second, there's a problem here, potential of Rabbi Shirin. If you hold like the Mekilim that once the mice is a mice amutter, then everything goes, then it's totally fine, everything is okay. So that would be fine. But if you hold like Ramesha, that you only say Rabbi Shirin on those items that you theoretically could use, even though you have five of them, you don't need all five, but each one independently can be used. But I know the sweat is not going to be used. The shum part of the sweat is not going to be used. The shum part of this toy is the chlal, it's broken. And no one's going to use this toy. It's not shaykh anymore to use it. So Choruk went to Ramesha, I start yanking out stuff out of the stroller. It's not so simple. I can't just go with the stroller. And now make matters even more complicated. Who says that you have a maisa hamutter in the first place? Maisa hamutter means I'm doing an act of carrying, and then almost like mego that I'm carrying, then I can carry everything else along. Who says that pushing the baby is an act of carrying? If the baby's able to walk on their own, so then that's not carrying altogether, because min haTorah chaynos yisatzmo. So I'm not really carrying anything beheter. Now, if I have some wipes in there, I'm carrying the wipes. But what if there are no wipes? So now I don't have the maisa hamutter to start with, and I don't have anything else to be toe-faced afterwards. So now, if you want to be a real chacham, you got to start figuring out what's in the bottom of the stroller. Is the things that all the tzarech, not the tzarech, is a ribishur, not a ribishur, is the baby able to walk or not able to walk? Yeah, no, there I said, there are bonim, like 2 days and toises, can he walk in? Or it gets very, very complicated. So you can imagine what used to happen. So we sometimes have these discussions on Yom Tov that we're about to take out the baby carriage, and I have a whole revamping of the entire stroller situation about what is Litzarek, what's not Litzarek, is it Rebbe Shurin, not Rebbe Shurin. We reached the point where it became faster for my wife to push the stroller on Yom Tov. So even though I try to be such a good husband and try to at least take up my role of responsibility on not to push the stroller, but I was quickly outvoted. So the minute said, now people started thinking, Nuchum, the rabbi doesn't push strollers on Yom Tov. I do push strollers. But that's a shayla, was a Rebbe Shurin, not a Rebbe Shurin. Maybe so. Okay. Anyway, back to that story. Rebbe Shurin is het the gomer on Yom Tov. If you can figure out how to do it right, it's het the gomer on Chachim on Yom Tov. It's the Ferish of Gemara, unlike on Shabbos. Okay, we're not really learning the Yom Tov part, we're really learning the Shabbos part. So, bottom line is, Rebbe Shurin on Shabbos is a very, very serious problem. According to the Ran, it's a Nisag Deraisa. According to the Ri, it's only Nisag Derabonim. So we'll have to see after the show next week how it plays out more for us in terms of Shabbos.